Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer here at the SiriusXM Studios, live in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel, and I'm blessed. And if you didn't realize I'm blessed, just look at the three co-hosts that I have here today. The incredible Allie, hello.
Hi.
Robert, good to see you. And the rookie of the year, Nick of Wom, the well-oiled machine, the anchor man. It makes me proud. But I'm proud not only of you three joining us today on Office Hours. This is one of my favorite entrepreneurs of all time. And the reason Cindy Eckert is one of my favorite entrepreneurs of all time is that her life illustrates one of the most valuable lessons of entrepreneurship, which is understanding the difference between perceived value and bottom line. Mm. And Cindy Eckert's story is one of huge success. She exited for over $1 billion. And if I'm not mistaken, she actually bought back the company for a dollar. That may or may not be true, but I think it is. But with her success came understanding perceived value and bottom line, and also giving back. And one of the few people I know that has, for the sake of making a lot of money, to help a lot of people, and she's always having a lot of fun, usually in pink. Welcome to Office Hours, Cindy Eckert.
Everything going on. Thanks, David. It's so good to be here. It's great to see you as always, and thank you for such a kind introduction.
Well, you are one of the greatest introductions that I have gotten in my entrepreneurial career. I follow you. I know the team's going to talk about all the great, exciting things that you have on, but I'm going to stick to my general lesson of being an entrepreneur, which is understanding the difference between perceived value and bottom line. And why I say that lesson is that Cindy could have exited her company for less than $1 billion. And she refused. Big, huge company buying her $500 million. I'm not sure, and I understand the difference between perceived value and bottom line. I'm not sure I would have rejected an offer for $980 million, right? But she did. She said, don't talk to me unless it's over $1 billion. And she was in a space that a lot of people laughed at her when she started. So it's the normal journey of an entrepreneur. But Cindy, how and where did you find the enlightenment of understanding that bottom line and the difference between perceived value and bottom line?
You know, I think about that day often because I remember that phone call coming in and them offering, the starting offer was $200 million. I said, no, thank you. A couple weeks later, they called with a $900 million offer. And I said, call me back when there's a B at the end of it.
Yes.
And I remember walking outside of my office and my assistant was like lying on the floor because she'd overheard the whole call. And she's like, do you know what you just did? And the answer was yes. I knew what this was worth. And I think the through line of all of my work is about knowing your worth. I mean, I'm in the field of women's health. You know, I've been in healthcare my entire life. And so much of what I championed is never settling for less than you deserve. And that was the truth in the dollar amount for the company as well.
Well, Allie, this is your new hero, being
a
woman in healthcare.
Yeah. As a female CEO myself, I'm in awe. Like, you sold it for $1 billion and you bought it back for $1? That's the most amazing arbitrage I've ever heard of.
I like it best when it's described as you sold it for $1 billion cash. You got it back for a ham sandwich.
No, ham sandwiches are more expensive.
Definitely. Right. Especially at the Wynn, which I love. But, you know, honestly, it was really the design of the contract, and you live and you learn, right? Mm. David and I get to have this conversation all the time. I had sold one company before, and I think this is maybe my best lesson for all the entrepreneurs listening. You know, so often when you sell your business, you're going to get some kind of upfront payment, hopefully. And then you, if things are going well, you want to participate in the ride, right? You want a back end. It might be royalties. It might be, you know, milestone payments. And the very first time I sold a company, that back end of the transaction was governed by the boilerplate best efforts clause, you know, that's in most legal contracts. And what I find as an entrepreneur is you give your baby to somebody else and then you're going to spend all your time worrying that their best efforts aren't as good as you want them to be. So the second time I sold, the live and learn was that the back end of the transaction was governed by really specific performance obligations. So they'd made a commitment to me about how much they would spend in marketing and education. And when they were in breach of it, I got the company back.
Fabulous.
Wow. Smart.
That is
very smart.
You think education is expensive? Try ignorance.
Mm. Oh, no kidding. Yes. As my new hero in business, I'm going to take two questions selfishly. So please. There it is. The first one is, out of curiosity, how did you come up with a female libido pill? Like, how did you discover the need for that one?
Well, I am talking to old ladies.
Have you been talking to my wife? There's something called menopause, I know.
So we pause on the men. Is that what that means?
Yeah, pause on the men. That's what happened. And men don't understand. They take it personally.
David, it's so true. Honestly, like, one of the best conversations I have is that I'm speaking to a big arena and it's the like guys that are lined up afterwards to be like, wait a minute, what? It isn't me.
Yes.
They're like, no, it's called biology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at my core, I think really I am a lover of science and of data and of facts. And I had built a company. So my first company was one of the male sexual health drugs. Can you imagine, like, a woman in pink in the sea of blue pills? And so I knew just how many options men had to improve the quality of their sex life. And I looked around and I'm like, wait a minute, why don't women have any? Because actually, by the numbers, more women struggle with issues in the bedroom than men. And so back in 2010, I was at one of the biggest medical conferences in the world for researchers in this space. You know, the guy that invented Viagra is there, et cetera. And they presented brain scan imaging of women who were struggling with their libido. And what they showed is that, you know, they take a woman who's like, something's different. Like, it's changed. I don't think about it. I want to think about it. But it's like the switch went out. And then you take a woman who's like, I'm good. Like, nothing's changed. I'm happy with my sex life. Put them both in an MRI, expose them to erotica. Their brains light up totally differently. And I sat in the room looking at these brain scans and I was like, oh my God, it's biology. Mm-hmm. And really, we're so kind of backward about women's sexuality that we think it's all rooted in emotion and we were missing the obvious plot, which is that no, it's also rooted in biology. So our product helps that balance we need in the brain to have libido.
What was your biggest hurdle or biggest difficulty in building such a big company with so much value?
It was naysayers. I mean, honestly, like, you can imagine, not only, I mean, we can relate, right? It's unusual to see women running health companies, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, it was the little pink pill, which was said often that way in a sort of trivialization, if you will, of this issue for women and couples. And I think it was new science. It was a new conversation. And so there were just been constant headwinds in terms of getting culture to catch up. But I think we're there now. And, you know, there's lots of hurdles that we have gotten past. And I think once we did that, they don't exist for those behind us.
Yes. Cindy, so nice to meet you. And thank you for sharing this unbelievable journey. And I want to obviously save room for Nick's beautiful question, whatever it's going to be. But here's my question. In about a month, you have a documentary coming about the pink pill.
The pink pill.
Can you tell us all what to expect and you know, where you think it's going to go from there?
I think it is explosive on the truth. You know, the truth will set you free. And I think this story has been filled with so much clickbait controversy and, you know, misconceptions and myths about women's sexuality that this will lay bare, I think, the truth of the story and what it means to fight. Like, what it means to fight for what's right.
Yes.
What do we know? What is backed by data? What do people deserve? We go back to that first question, David, like, what is the worth? And I think that it really has moved me. I'll tell you what, when I was approached on it, I was like, no, thank you. I can never go backwards and go through the battles we went through. I only look forward. And they said, yes, but we have to go backward to break this wide open. And so I agreed to sit for an interview. It's an independent on these three incredible female filmmakers. And honestly, I've gotten a sneak preview of it. And it's just, it's such an honoring of the story. And forget us in it. It's an honor to watch all of the women who surrounded me to speak up, because they knew if they didn't say it, nothing would ever change. So I hope you'll all check out the pink pill. They even called it the pink pill. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. This is going to be wild.
Cannot wait. Nick of Wam, you are on fire, man. You are so lucky to have this guest. Go ahead.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Cindy, how are you, first off?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. We are so happy to have you. And I am very excited for the documentary. But as you look back and reflect on your career, I actually want to dive into a little bit more of the belief and the spirituality that makes up yourself. And so I want to ask a two-parted question. And this was something that had, we had a VIP dinner last night with all of our, you know, crew, partners, et cetera, that's involved in the show. And this was asked, and I'd love your take. So what is one belief that you had at the very beginning of your entrepreneurial career that has remained the same and only been validated? And the second part to that question is, what is one belief you had in the beginning of your career that you learned could not be further off or in not alignment with yourself? And how has that helped you learn lessons? As I always believe that failure is feedback.
Okay, so a belief that has been a through line always is, you love it more when you earn it.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that that's like to back to, you know, childhood, and I'm very much my father's daughter who taught me that. And I think that this hasn't been easy. No entrepreneur has a straight path, right, to success. But I think if you sort of enjoy the ride and even the mental gymnastics of getting past the challenges, and you really earn your way to the other side, you love it and appreciate it all the more. And then I think probably, you know, there's this belief at the beginning of what it is you have to prove. And I think at some point, if you're lucky, you have a complete mind shift from what is it that I have to prove to what is it that I have to impact. And that's really it. I think that maybe back at David and I have had this conversation before, so I'm reflecting fondly on it. You know, I think that for many, success looks like money, but I think you wake up and realize success really looks like impact.
When was that moment for you that switch happened and it really became more impact driven?
You know, honestly, the fight with the FDA was so eye-opening to me. Like, I've always believed, put the obstacle in my way, I'll find the way around. But to see how deeply embedded it was, how it was in systems and everything else, and to be an observer of other women who showed up next to me, like when I spoke out, they spoke out. And I think that was really the eye opening, is really in deep appreciation for the courage that took for them to stand up and fight for something.
Beautiful answer from a beautiful entrepreneur, someone who I look up to. And when I'm looking at, I'll be happy when, I remind myself of Cindy Eckert, for the sake of what, which is leading into the documentary. If you're not excited about watching this documentary, then go back, rewatch this interview, and remind yourself, for the sake of what am I going to earn this? And I love that. You'll probably see that up on my threads for sure, that we love it more when we earn it. And I'll remind my kids, who unfortunately, like your kids, Rob, they're not going to know what it's like to grow up poor. And I feel sorry for the rest of them because when you grow up poor is you have to earn it.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to give you shit. Yep. And I love Cindy Eckert. I cannot wait to do more with you. Congratulations. Nobody deserves it more than you. You are the Warren Moon of entrepreneurship. I always like the first, and to do what you're doing with everything. Don't forget to watch The Pink Pill. If you're a man or a woman, there's a lot of great lessons that can be learned from the journey and the feedback that Cindy Eckert has gotten throughout the years. Please promise me one thing, that it won't be so long till I see you again.
Oh, I promise. I can't wait to see you.
Thank you. How lucky are we? I told you we were blessed. We are super blessed to have Cindy Eckert here with us today on Office Hours.